Right, I'm just waiting. Okay, so we are now recording. Let's just this is just going to be a sample recording, Bob, okay? Because I need to still check the quality of the audio. If the quality of the audio would be perfect, okay, for your podcast, then we're going to use this platform, okay?
Okay.
All right. So, let me just go ahead and check. And then I'll just edit the stream and cut some parts. So I think I already sent you yesterday some of the questions.
Yes, you did.
All right. Okay. So can you check? I'll be on the chat box first. All right, okay, so upon checking here, Bob, okay, so the very first questions you need to introduce yourself. So please
Right.
do make like an introduction, okay? And this is going to be the start of your podcast. So the things that we need is, of course, introduction to your book. So please give us a brief overview of your book and then what inspired you to write this book. Okay, so those are first two questions. Okay, I did a short introductory and you as an author as well. All right. So all right, I'll be giving you a cue. All right, in one, two, three, go.
Hi, my name is Bob Skrstonas, and I wrote the book Without Our Consent. Without Our Consent is about pesticides being sprayed onto our food items. And this goes for insecticides and herbicides and all the other sides that are used to control bugs and pests. Unfortunately, they are also, as I said, in our food system. What inspired me to write this book was the fact that in 2015 timeframe, I became highly allergic to food I was ingesting. I broke out on my legs to the point of having a rash that looked like something out of a really bad movie. I had gone to several dermatologists, and they didn't have an answer for me. And then finally, I found a Chinese herbologist, and he provided a solution and a very limited diet. And that's how I started to write the book. While I was having the reaction for almost 2.5 years, I did not do any writing on the book. It wasn't until after I found a solution that I actually dug up all the material, researched it over 1,000 hours, and wrote the context of the book. You want to give that a shot?
Yes, thank you so much for that, Bob. So upon checking here, so this is based on your like personal experience, right? That pushed you to, uncover some of the information or most of the, information on your book are facts, right? Maybe from research. So who are your target audience for this book?
Target audience for the book is everyone who is concerned about their health and the food items that they're ingesting or eating. And I wanted people to be aware from my research that there is a solution to food reaction that you may be receiving, even though you may not know that you're receiving a food reaction. For instance, in the United States, the corn is a lot of corn is GMO, genetically modified, and they spray all kinds of chemicals on the corn to kill any bugs or things that may grow in the soil to take nutrients from the corn. Unfortunately, they say that the pesticides have a very short shelf life. However, we feed it to the corn for cows and chickens and other animals that we eat. And we also eat the corn. The other example is that I found in the book is soybean. And soybeans are also fed to farm animals and in great quantities. As I kept researching the book, I found more and more documentation to help support what I was researching. And I wanted people everywhere to understand what we're eating can be dangerous.
Yeah, I can relate. Yes, because, you know, after I have listened to your book as well. So I think I told you before, way back, I had this, you know, like similar symptoms as well, but rashes as well. But, you know, I was just thinking if, you know, maybe, you know, the food that I'm eating is contaminated with, you know, pesticides, because some of the farmers here also in my location, you know, they are really using pesticides, right? Mm-hmm. We have like big companies here who, you know, offers pesticides for the farm products. Okay, so that's going to be like an eye-opener for people as well to be more, you know, curious about it and to check as well, okay, the food that they are eating from farm to table, right?
Yep.
Okay, and upon checking here, can you share particularly interesting or surprising part of your book? So how many chapters do we have in the book all in all?
I think there's a lot. Okay.
Yeah.
There's 43 chapters, but don't let that... That's the 43
one
chapters.
By one. Yeah. What is the best, or what is your favorite chapter of the book, so that we can share it to your, you know, audience as well?
I think the one fun chapter, or what I learned about, is the monarch butterfly is being decimated here in the United States,
mm-hmm.
and the reason it's being decimated with pesticides is the butterfly only lays its eggs on what's called a milkweed plant. And I had no idea about this. There are 12 different species in North America of milkweed plants. And the butterfly lays their eggs only on this plant. Now, what I found also interesting is the monarch butterfly flies from Mexico through the United States up to Canada and back again every year. And they have seven different routes that they travel from the Mexico through the United States to Canada. And I found this the most fascinating item, because they're a butterfly. They're, you know, like 2 inches across and a 2x2, you know, item that flies this gigantic distance. And that's what I found really, really wonderful to learn about.
I see. I'll be checking what part of that, but I was able to listen to that particular, you know, chapter that you have sharing with us right now. Okay. All right. And then upon checking here, how did you research or prepare for writing this?
My research involved using the internet. The book Silent Spring by Rachel Carson. She wrote that back in, she started writing it, I believe, in the 1950s, and it was published in the early 1960s. And she had to do all her homework the old-fashioned way of going to the library, reading books, and studying chemicals that were being introduced to the marketplace nearly 70 years ago. And our research is much easier today because we have the internet and we can research much quicker, much faster, and learn about different techniques that are being used in the pesticide industry to be applied to our food system. That said, there's over 395 footnotes in the book of what I read. So, I took that information and then organized it and then put it together in the book.
Yeah, I saw those footnotes that you're talking about as well. And okay, how does this book relate to your personal experiences or background?
So as a child, I grew up in Connecticut, and my grandparents had a farm away from us. And we had gardens, and we grew our own food. My father would plow the garden and get it prepped for growing food. And then, so we had everything that we wanted as far as a garden goes. We had corn, potatoes, tomatoes, pumpkins, squash, asparagus, and many more items. And back at my grandmother's farm, she had the same thing. And then the other relatives had little patches of gardens on their properties as well. What was really intrigued me in doing the research on the book is that we didn't use pesticides back in the late 50s, early 60s on our garden because one is they were expensive and two, we really didn't need them. If you had a bug in a piece of fruit and a piece of vegetable, you cut it out or you didn't eat it. And if we had an ear of corn that had, you know, a bug that had crawled into it, we simply cut it out and cooked it up. So there were no pesticides being used like they are today. And that gave me part of my inspiration of to write this book is that we didn't use pesticides growing up as a kid.
I see. Okay. Well, maybe, you know, recently or in the current situation of the farming industries right now, we have two kinds of farming methods as well. One is the organic one. Okay. So, however, there are, you know, two different markets as well. I think the organic food are more expensive compared to those traditional, you know, products as well from the market. That's what I observe. So when you say organic, so these are the crops or products that they did not use pesticides, right? So if you are a health, you know, conscious, you know, individual, right? Even it's expensive, you're gonna choose the organic products rather than just buying the stuff coming from, I'm not sure if I can. you know, I don't want to be sued by you know, other countries because we have a lot here frozen, like frozen carrots from this particular country being, you know, exported here or imported here in the Philippines. So, like this carrots is like, it could last like months in your fridge and the quality is just the same. However, if we're going to get one from the local market, it won't last like a week. So, true. You know, you're really scared. What are you eating or digesting? Because this is like, is this a military carrot? Like it's going to last for like a couple of months and, you know, physically it's just the same. But however, upon reading your book, Bob, I got curious. Okay. Sometimes I do purchase that kind of carrot because the shelf life is much longer than the other local produce of carrots that we have here. But after reading your book, okay, I did not, you know, I'm not choosing that carrot as well. It's very, actually, it's not expensive. It's really cheap, right? It's, if you're going to buy a local carrot, a one piece of it, you can buy two carrots by buying those, you know, the one that's been exported. But after, you know, I was able to listen to the audiobook that I have purchased from you, yeah, I got a little bit really curious about it. It's like an eye opener as well that, hey, yeah, there might be some, you know, chemicals or, you know, bad toxins that, you know, we are really digesting for how many years. And then, of course, maybe your body can tolerate it for quite some time, but you know, once you get old or, you know, your immune system cannot take it anymore, you might see the effects of, you know, eating those kinds of food, right?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, well, upon checking here, let's move forward. So, did you face like any challenges while writing this book, or how did you overcome such challenges, if there is?
I think that the biggest challenge or challenges that were in the compilation of information was the number of rabbit holes you can go down in studying the topic. The other rabbit hole was how many bad things I was reading in doing the research. And how many the insecticides or pesticides were harming birds, obviously killing good insects like bees, and harming frogs through castration by the use of the chemicals. There were days when I was writing this and I was doing researching that. I came out of my office really, really upset and saddened by what I had read that day or for a couple of hours. That was a challenge to go back at it and dig deeper and find out the why, the how, not necessarily the who, but to learn that all these good insects and reptilian were being killed from the pesticides and herbicides and insecticides being used while growing food for, you know, thousands and thousands of people. And that's what I guess the biggest challenge was, is to continue working on it to find a way to solve a problem.
Yeah, so I think this is not going to be, you know, the first and the last book about the pesticides that they're going to publish, right? Because there's still a lot, you know. Actually, I find the book like really interesting. There are a lot of things that I did not know before, like example for the bees, like, you know, the butterflies as well that they need to uncover. Okay, so guys, support Bob's audiobook that's available in ebook and audiobook. All right, we're gonna share the link after this podcast. Okay, and then upon checking here also, what do you hope readers will take away from your book?
One is that you can afford to eat organic food. That's the one thing I'd like to share, is it's not as difficult as one thinks. If you eat boxes of cereal that have tons of sugar in it, and you can read the side of the box and how much sugar that's in there, it's probably not really good for you to eat. You can buy oats and other grains to eat as a breakfast meal, or you can use, you know, organic eggs, that aren't, the chickens aren't fed with pesticides. These are things that I would highly recommend. You know, if you have a small patio, you can grow a tomato plant, you can grow other vegetables, and it's really, really not that hard to do. But the thing is, you've got to practice to do it, and you've got to want to do and have fresh vegetables available. I think the other thing that I learned the most about eating fresh food is the country of the Netherlands, which is smaller than the state of Maryland in the United States, is producing enough food to feed 140 million Europeans. Now, that ought to tell you something. They are the second largest exporter of food in the world, right after the United States, a country smaller than the state of Maryland. That ought to say something to you. They use 95% less water in growing their organic food. They don't use any pesticides. So if a little country can do that much production of food, why can't the rest of us do it around the world?
Yeah, that's a big question, you know. And, you know, I hopefully, okay, after this podcast, first episode, your audience can expect that we're going to have guests, right? And this is going to be a very good discussion or a very good, you know, topic for you guys to discuss some few factual things about it on if that's really impossible that, you know, we can go back on organic farming, right? Because there's no pesticides before. That's a fact, right?
That's a fact.
Yeah. And I think it will not hurt much the economy and, you know, 80% or as the statistics that we have, like 40% of people who are really health conscious coming from 25%. Now we are at 40 to 48%. People are more conscious, okay, with their health and what they are eating. So this is going to be a timely, you know, topic. And I'm looking forward to have the second podcast with some invited guests for you, Bob, okay? And this is going to be a very nice topic to discuss and to, you know, so that audiences can share also their experience and then what do they think and how we can help the farming industry as well to, you know, go back to organic practices. We're in, I think this is going to benefit all of us, right? Not only a specific group, but almost all of the people around the world. Okay.
Yes.
And do you have any advice for aspiring authors looking to get, you know, some books like this one to be published as well if they want to research on the topic as well? So what's going to be your advice?
Well, researching it now after the fact. I decided to do self-publishing. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to find a publisher who will publish your book, no matter how well it's written. The publishers have a very long timeline. Some are up to a year or more in getting back to you to say, I'll publish your book. We are our generations, and I mean that all generations from your age of 18 and you're a great writer to the age of, you know, 102 and you're a great writer. It really doesn't make a difference. If you've got a good topic and you've done a good job of writing it, finding a publisher is very, very difficult. In the United States, there's a little over 550 publishers, with the big five publishers controlling the most of the market and Amazon controlling nearly 85%+ of the market as far as getting books to the marketplace. So finding a publisher is your big, hard topic. The other thing I learned is everybody wants a piece of you as the writer, author. Remember that. We all have to make money somehow. And I use that when you're looking for to get your book published, look for a company that you can work with. Find out the costs up front. Find out where your book will be. Do you have someone to read your book? Is it? Do you have enough money to spend on hiring somebody to read your book? If you don't want to read it yourself. Remember, you have to edit it. You have to have it in the correct format to be accepted as an audiobook. The same goes with the ebook and publishing that. All these formats have to be produced absolutely 100% correct, or it's not accepted into the marketplace. Those are the stumbling blocks for you. And the other thing is, You need to have someone do your graphic artwork for your book cover and how that's going to look and how it's going to be presented on the internet and how it's going to look when it's published in print copy. These are the steps that you'll need to know and how you need to accomplish those steps to get your book published.
All right. Thank you so much, Bob, for those informations. It's going to be more helpful, okay, to some of the audiences that we might have, okay, in the next few podcasts. Maybe there we can, you know, have a topic as well on how can a book, you know, how can we have like an effective book to be published in the market, okay? Mm-hmm. And about checking here, are you currently working on any new projects or books right now? After this one, are we going to expect another book related to this one, or there is a different book coming in or coming out into the market soon?
I haven't outlined the new book topic yet. Mm-hmm. My other project that I'm working on is a website called learnenglishabc.com, in which I wrote the content to this website. It has over 500 pages to the website. There is basically everything for someone who is an English language learner to learn how to speak English, read it, and there's hundreds of tools on there for anyone who's wants to learn English as a second language.
I see. Okay, that's good to know. And I just want to share to you guys that, Bob, can you share to your audience where can they purchase your book, or where can they, if they want an audiobook or ebook, okay, can you name some of the sites that they can go through that they can, you know, purchase your book or can get a copy as well?
Yes, you can go to Amazon. You can go to Barnes & Noble. For the print copy, and Google for the audio copy. If you look for Without Our Consent on the internet, and my last name, Skerstonas, Skerstonas, you'll be able to find the book available in all formats, from ebook to audio, and the two print copies of paperback and hardcover.
I see. Okay. And guys, we'll be sharing some few links, right? I just want to let you know that we do have also our website for this book, wherein you can follow Bob, all right, and some of the updates about this book and the incoming books, okay? And also, we do have links of the website as well. So you can go to our Facebook page, all right? Without Our Consent, we do have a Facebook, TikTok, and IG as well. We are also on Threads, right? That's going to be available. So if you want to follow Bob, please, you know, click and follow, all right? We're going to put the links on this podcast. So yeah, if you want to be connected and get to more about this book, and then you guys, so we can follow you, and please follow us as well. All right. Okay. And upon checking here, this is not going to be the first and the last podcast. Okay. You're going to hear more about Bob, and we're going to, you know, give you guys a few or a lot of topics about the book as well. We'll be having also another author that will be guesting on the second podcast that will be released next week. So you're gonna check it out. All right. So any last, you know, anecdotes that you want to share, Bob, before we end this first podcast recording?
Well, I'd like you all to go out and buy it today. No.
Yes, of course.
Of course,
guys.
I would. But thank you for all listening, and look forward to having you hear the next podcast.
Okay, thank you so much, Bob. All right, hold on.